of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because he judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Thus far we read the inspired scriptures. Our text for this morning consists of verses 32, 33, 34, and 35a. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. The epistle to the Hebrews, beloved, was written to Hebrew Christians, those who were Jews, who came out of unbelieving Judaism to believe in Jesus Christ, the one promised throughout the Old Testament scriptures. But this conversion that they had experienced from unbelieving Judaism to Christianity had brought to them much hardship. And so they were tempted to draw back in unbelief. That's the very end of chapter 10, verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And now to encourage these believers who have experienced such hardship through believing in Jesus Christ, the writer to the Hebrews reminds them that faith in Jesus Christ, the one promised throughout the whole of the Old Testament, the seed of the woman, is the way in which all of the saints of the Old Testament had lived and died. And so he presents to us, to them and to us today, a great cloud of faithful witnesses, which are then mentioned at the beginning of chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So the call is, do not draw back into unbelieving Judaism, but continue believing on Jesus Christ and take as your example all of the saints described in Hebrews 11. And so the writer to the Hebrews has listed these saints. He began with Abel way back in Genesis chapter 4. And he has made his way through the Old Testament and he has reached the point of the book of Joshua. He talked about the fall of the wall of Jericho He talked about the salvation of Rahab the harlot, and now he has reached a juncture. Because he looks ahead through the whole of the Old Testament, Judges, and so on, and he says to himself, there's so much material here, I can't possibly do it justice. Now I'm simply going to have to summarize the rest rather quickly and come to the end of this particular chapter. Hebrews 11, though, is not well divided when it comes to the verse divisions. Remember that the Bible did not originally have chapters and verses in it. And often the chapters and verses are helpful. But the verses in Hebrews 11 are not so helpful. Because if you look at verse 35, you'll notice my text ended halfway through verse 35. You will see that there is a change of subject halfway through verse 35. Up until that point, the writer has been describing those who have been victorious through faith, at least outwardly victorious. They have overcome certain things. They have overcome all kinds of difficult obstacles, kingdoms, mouths of lions, violence of fire, the sword, armies of the aliens, and even death itself. Women received their dead raised to life again. They did that all by the power of faith. Now verse 35, halfway through, changes the subject to, and others were tortured. And the next section will describe how people of God suffered by the power of faith. Some were victorious over their enemies by the power of faith. Others were enabled by the power of that same faith to lay down their lives. They were tortured. They had cruel mockings and scourgings. They were put into prison. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain, and were destitute, and so on. But whether they were victorious or whether they suffered and died ultimately as martyrs, the point is, all of them lived and died through faith. And that's what the writer of the Hebrews is reminding these Jewish Christians of. And that's what he would remind us of as well. And so we are to look at this section of Hebrews 11 and exclaim, look at the power of faith. Look what faith can do. Or better, we are to exclaim, what hath God wrought through faith? Look then at the victorious exploits of faith. The victorious exploits of faith. Notice first, they are God's mighty works. Second, they are beyond retelling. And third, they overcome great difficulties. Hebrews 11 is not the hall of fame of heroes. That is how the world writes their history books. And the annals of world history are filled with such amazing feats which men and women have performed by their own power, they would say. They have had tremendous courage and skill. Open any history book and you will see that. Think of some examples. Think of Alexander the Great. He was a Greek military commander before Jesus Christ. And he conquered the then known world, even though his army was greatly outnumbered by all the other armies of that day. But he was so successful, we are told that he wept bitterly when it was told him that there is no more world for you to conquer Alexander. Think of other eminent scientists, thinkers, or artists in the history of the world. Men like Einstein, men like Plato, or men like Mozart. They all have done mighty things in the history of this world. They are admired by the men and women of this world, or the present-day football stars, the present-day actors, rock stars, all the rest. They are admired by the world because of their achievements. Several years ago, the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, a television program we have in the UK, had a program or a series of programs called The Greatest Britons. And the aim of that show was to find out who were the greatest British citizens in the history of the world, to look at their achievements, to look at what they had contributed to the history of Britain, and to work out who were the top 10. And sad to say, Charles Darwin was one of the top 10. I can't remember who won. Winston Churchill was up there, William Shakespeare, Isaac Newton, and all the rest. That was an example of a program of men praising all of the achievements of men and women. But Hebrews 11, beloved, is not that kind of record. The Holy Spirit, who inspired Hebrews 11, is not interested in praising men or lauding men and women to the skies. The Holy Spirit is interested, his purpose is to glorify the triune God. That, of course, is his goal with all of Scripture. His goal, especially here, is to show what God has done through these men and women of faith. And so if we look at Hebrews 11 and simply admire these men and even engage in some kind of hero worship concerning these men and women, we have completely missed the point of Hebrews 11, and indeed we have sinned. Because hero worship, whether worshipping a sports celebrity or an actor or a military man or whatever, is sin. It's idolatry. That's what the world does. They get into a huge football stadium and they worship the skilled sportsmen who play for 90 minutes or so, and they praise them to the skies. And we as Christians can be tempted to do the same thing. Go into the bedroom of a young person and you might find a huge poster of some famous basketball player on the wall. That is not necessarily idolatry, but we have to be warned against that danger, that we begin to worship men for their achievements instead of glorifying God, who has given those men and women the ability to do those great things. Because whether you are a sportsman or a great intellectual thinker or a military commander, you receive those gifts and those abilities from God himself. And God, as the Creator, says to you, use these gifts to glorify me. Don't use these gifts to make a name for yourself in the world. If you do, you're not glorifying me, you're glorifying yourself. And that, of course, is exactly what the men and women of this world are doing. They play sports. They play sports well. Often they desecrate the Sabbath when they play their sports. But they do not use those sports to glorify God, and therefore they sin, and therefore they miss the entire point of their lives. Perhaps their whole life they have been praised by men. Perhaps they have millions and millions of fans who admire them and follow their every move. Perhaps they have many, many medals and trophies, and they haven't room to store all those trophies on their shelf any longer. But their whole life has been a complete waste. They have achieved precisely nothing. And they do not receive from God, as these saints do in Hebrews 11, a good report through faith, but rather they perish forever in hell as idolaters. That's not Hebrews 11. We can see that in several ways. You can see that, for example, in the persons and events that the Holy Spirit chooses to highlight in Hebrews 11. Sometimes those examples are surprising. Perhaps you noticed that as you read through this chapter this morning. Some exploits of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11 appear on the surface of it to be rather unimpressive indeed. Look at verse 9. Here is the achievement of Abraham in verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. On the face of it, Abraham's great achievement is this: he lived in a tent. And you might think, big deal. But of course, there's a deeper spiritual reality behind the fact he lived in a tent. We don't have time to look into that today. Other times, the Spirit seems to ignore the entire life of a person and focuses on just one part of his life, which you might think wasn't very interesting at all. Think, for example, in verse 22 of Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph, the amazing works that Joseph performed, his faith throughout his entire life. And what does the Holy Spirit mention in verse 22? Simply the end of that man's life, where he mentions his bones. He mentions the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. The same is true of Jacob. He is only mentioned at the end of his life, blessing both the sons of Joseph. There's also this. There are persons included in Hebrews 11 that we might not expect to see there. If we had written this chapter and were given the assignment, find out the great examples of faith in the Old Testament, record them in order, we would have included other people. We would have not included some of the people mentioned in Hebrews 11. In fact, we might be almost embarrassed to include some of the people who are mentioned in Hebrews 11 and wonder, how in the world did they get on the list of Hebrews 11? Think of Barak in verse 32. Was he not cowardly before the battle against the Canaanites? Did he not have to say, I will not go unless Deborah, a woman, goes with me? And yet the Holy Spirit does not mention that part of Barak's life, graciously overlooks that part of Barak's life, and instead gives him honorable mention in verse 32. Samson also, his sins are not mentioned in Hebrews 11. You can find those sins in the book of Judges. He's mentioned honorably in Hebrews 11. Samson also. You might think his sins with that wicked woman, Delilah, would have disqualified him from appearing in this chapter. But we see from this, it's by grace. You don't appear in Hebrews 11, beloved, because you deserve it. You appear there because of God's grace. God includes his people in this chapter. God includes people who struggled with sin. He includes people who succumbed to sin, who fell into sin and then were later restored by the grace of God, to show us that even we, sinful as we are, have a place in God's list. He does not forget his weak sinful children. And this record then magnifies His grace and His power. We know especially this is not a hero's hall of fame because of that phrase, by faith or through faith. And you should add that phrase, through faith, to every verb in our text. Who through faith subdued kingdoms? Through faith have that wrought righteousness. Through faith obtained promises. Through faith stopped the mouths of lions. Through faith quenched the violence of fire. Through faith escaped the edge of the sword. And so on. The Spirit wants to emphasize that truth. All of this happened through faith. If an unbelieving writer had sat down to make a list such as Hebrews 11, even if he had any inclination to talk about these saints of the Old Testament, he would have written something like this: because Samson was strong, he did such and such. Or because David was a wise military commander, he did such and such. What we have here, through faith. And that should not come as any surprise, because the entire chapter has repeated it. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, and on and on and on it goes. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Remember what faith is. If you have an Arminian conception of faith, you will believe that faith is the power of man to work up in his own heart, by his own free will, the ability to believe, and therefore you'll miss the point of Hebrews 11. That's the Arminian, Pentecostal, and even prosperity preacher conception of faith. It's man's work. Man does it. Man gets glory for it. But no. Faith, as we know, is the gift of God. God works faith in His people. And by working that faith in His people, He enables them to do great things. Things which they would not naturally be able to do. It's not that these saints were naturally bold and courageous. It's not that they were naturally wise or strong. No. They were weak. They were foolish by nature. Some of them were initially cowardly, Barak. Gideon needed to have many signs given to him to encourage him to go forward. David was but a shepherd boy, and yet by faith he was able to overcome. And the text tells us specifically in verse 34, out of weakness. God used these men and women. He gave them faith to show us it's not of them. It's the power of God. And that's true today as well. I can do all things. How? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Faith is that living, vital, spiritual union which joins the elect sinner to God, and specifically to Jesus Christ. The virtue and the power is found in Jesus Christ. And we are united to Jesus Christ by this faith, and therefore His power and His virtue flow into us and enable us to do the things described in Hebrews 11. That's the only way. God is the author of our faith. God is the strengthener of our faith. God is the increaser of our faith. Not us. Not our human heart. not our working up the power of positive thinking. It's God who engrafts us into Jesus Christ. And so it's a supernatural work by the power of the Spirit, given to us for the sake of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1 verse 29 says. And that means given to us because Christ died on the cross for us. Christ earned for us the right to believe on Him by dying on the cross. And because that's what faith is, faith unites us to a power, a source of power that the world cannot know and the world cannot see. And that's why these men and women in Hebrews 11 were able to do that which they did. And this faith, which unites us to Jesus Christ, which gives us access to the power and virtue of the exalted Son of God, this faith becomes active in our lives. God plants it, as it were, as a seed into our heart. And He causes it to grow. And as it grows, it produces fruit. The fruit of good works. The fruit of works done out of faith. Works described in Hebrews 11. And the works that we, as believers, do today. And our prayer must be, Lord, increase my faith. Yes, I am united to Jesus Christ by faith, but my activity of faith is so weak. Increase it, Lord. Strengthen it, Lord. And the Lord promises that He will. Because faith looks away from self and has conscious dependence upon God in Jesus Christ. So close is the believer to Jesus Christ, and so intimate is this bond of faith with Jesus Christ, that it can be said, unrightly, that the believer lives out of Jesus Christ, and the life of the believer is the life of Jesus Christ. God plants into our hearts the life of Christ, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Here's Paul's confession in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Philippians 3, verse 10. That was the source of the power of the life of all of these saints in Hebrews 11. And remember this, beloved, that they looked to Jesus Christ as the one who was going to come, as the promised seed of the woman. He was not yet there. We have that at the end of this chapter. They did not receive the promise. They didn't. They longed for it. They saw it afar off. And yet they still lived out of faith in that promise. They still lived by the power of Jesus Christ. That promise kept them going. That promise encouraged them. They did not draw back in unbelief because they looked to the promise of Jesus Christ. They saw the shadows that Jesus Christ was casting throughout the Old Testament. They rejoiced in those shadows and looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ and lived by the power of that faith. Now, verse 32 begins with these words, "And what shall I more say?" And what shall I more say? At this point in the chapter, it seems that the inspired writer has reached a problem. Human language has reached its limit. There's more to this subject than can possibly be retold. He has started. The writer to the Hebrews has started. He started with creation. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. He goes to Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, don't forget Sarah, Moses. He ends up in the book of Judges. He looks forward. As it were, he has the Old Testament in front of him. He looks, says, well, I'm up to the book of Joshua, and there's Judges, and there's 1 Samuel, and the 2 Samuel, and 1st, 2 Kings, Chronicles. There's too much. I can't possibly include it all. And so he says, time would fail me to tell you of all these other people. And starts to just name them quickly. Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel. And then he stops naming names and just describes the general characteristics and general works which these people have performed. Because if he were to list every believing man, woman, and child named in the Old Testament, he would not be able to complete his task. He would not have an exhaustive account. And what of the many unnamed, unknown, unremembered saints of the Old Testament age? And what of the saints between the end of the Old Testament with Malachi, the 400 years of darkness to John the Baptist? What about all those saints? Who's going to include their stories? And what about the believers who came to faith in Christ while he was walking upon the earth? The apostles. Blind Bartimaeus, the woman at the pool of Samaria, and so on. Who's going to record all of those people? And when this writer to the Hebrews dies and someone else has to pick up the pen and continue the story, how is he going to cope with all the people who have to be mentioned? What about the people, all the saints of the New Testament church, many of whom were thrown to the lions and made martyrs under the wicked Roman Empire? And then we have the Middle Ages. And then we have the period of the Reformation. And then we have the post-Reformation period and the modern age and the church of today. Who is going to include all of those examples who live by the power of faith? It's impossible. The writer understands it's impossible. He has not enough time for such a task. Why is it impossible? Well, verse 12 gives us one reason. The seed of Abraham, the believers in Jesus Christ, are innumerable. And that word means it's beyond the power of human arithmetic. No mere man could possibly count all of the believers in Jesus Christ in the history of the world. It's innumerable. Only God has an exhaustive list, therefore. Only God can name all of the elect, all of those engrafted into Jesus Christ by a true and living faith. Only God has the power to record everything that they did by the power of that faith to the glory of his name. And second, everything that a believer does is performed by the power of faith. His entire life as a believer flows out of that seed of faith. We saw earlier in this chapter that without faith, it is impossible to please God. On the flip side, through faith, it is possible to please God. And by the power of faith, we are able to do many things which please God. And so all of our sins are performed through the power of our flesh. But all of our good works, our prayers, our religious devotion to God and Jesus Christ, all of that is done by the power of faith. And all of that has to be recorded as well. Take, for example, Noah. He's near the beginning of chapter 11. By faith, Noah built an ark. That was the work of Noah that the Spirit highlights in chapter 11 here. But Noah did a lot more by the power of faith than simply build an ark. And if Noah was a believing child of God as a little boy, and we assume that he was because he was born to godly parents, he lived 950 years. That's 950 years of activity which flows out of the power of faith. And if you are going to record all of that 950 years of Noah's life lived out of the power of faith, how long would such a book be? And then there's Abel. Write a book about him. And then Enoch, and Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, and Moses, and all the saints of the Old Testament, one book for every single one of them, recording everything they did out of the power of faith. And do that for every saint who ever lived in the history of the world. And do that for us, because we perform all of our good works, all of our God-pleasing activity out of the power of His faith. And then we get close to what John writes at the end of his gospel account concerning Jesus Christ. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Impossible. Impossible to record, exhaustively to record the exploits of faith. Third, no one saint is the same, and therefore no one saint is able to exhaust the power of faith. God, remember, has ordained and chosen every single member of the Church of Jesus Christ from the beginning, righteous Abel, all the way to the last elect person who will be born into this world and be converted. He has also molded and planned every aspect of their lives so that the entire church, when it's all brought together, displays every facet of faith. And so Abel shows a certain kind of faith in Hebrews 11, Enoch another aspect of faith, Moses another aspect of faith, John Calvin another aspect of faith, and each one of us, we show another aspect of that faith, because we're all part of one body, one unified whole. And God's purpose is not to have just a handful of people, and certainly not to have them all the same, but to have one beautiful temple. Think of, for example, a mosaic. Each little tile isn't very impressive by itself. But put all those tiles together, perhaps millions of them together, and you have a beautiful mosaic you can put upon the wall. That's what God is planning and working out in the history of the world. Abel was a tile. Enoch was a tile. And we're all tiles in this great mosaic. And when it's all done, it will glorify God. It will be splendid beyond words. And perhaps you think, I can't imagine that my life of faith is going to contribute anything at all important to this mosaic that God is making. But do not fear. You might think, well, Moses, Noah, Abraham, they were great men of faith. I couldn't possibly live up to that standard. But I dare say, and I know, that mothers in the home, and fathers, and young people, and children, and every member of the church lives by the power of faith. And each person shows a different side and aspect to that faith. And without you, beloved, the mosaic would not be complete. It would be imperfect. There would be holes in it. And God's glory would not shine forth as He has purposed that it shall. So now, having declared the impossibility of his task, the apostle, or the writer to the Hebrews, gives us a quick summary. He gives us judges, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. He gives us one of the kings, David, and he mentions Samuel and the prophets. And then he gives us a list of verbs that come one after the other in quick succession. Subdued, wrought, obtained, stopped, quenched, escaped, remained strong, waxed valiant, turned to flight, received. And the effect of those verbs is like a sledgehammer upon us, one after the other, so that we exclaim after reading those things, what hath faith wrought? What great works has God performed through faith? And that faith is magnified as well through the fact that through this faith and by the power of this faith, great obstacles have been overcome. We looked at the verbs, let's now look briefly at the nouns. Kingdoms, mouths of lions, violence of fire, edge of the sword, fight or warfare, armies of the aliens, and their dead. And here we see that faith enables us, faith enabled them to overcome the greatest of all difficulties. Who does not fear the roar of the lion? And yet by faith, the mouth of the lion was stopped. Who does not fear the edge of the sword? And yet by faith, these men and women of faith were enabled to flee from and to escape the edge of the sword. Who is not afraid of fire and the violence of fire? And yet by faith, they were able to quench the violence of fire. And you can think in your mind of who they might be speaking of in this chapter. Most likely that last one, the three friends of Daniel. Who does not fear the armies of the aliens? But by faith, they're able to turn those armies to flight. Not by their own strength, beloved. Not because they were wise. Not because they were strong. Not because they were skillful. But by faith. Because God worked in them. And what difficulties are in our lives? And what do we then overcome by faith? We have trials too. We don't face the violence of fire or swords or the mouths of lions. But we have trials as well. And we too are united to Jesus Christ by the power of faith, and therefore we too, by that faith, can overcome all of the trials of our lives. Is there disappointment? Is there sickness? Our own personal sickness or the sickness of those whom we love? Is there the difficulty of old age? Is there fear, uncertainty of the future? Is there the difficulty of work or of finding work? The difficulty of looking after your family? The difficulty of childlessness, perhaps? The trials of a marriage? the loneliness of singleness, all of these can be and are overcome through faith. Does that mean that they go away? Not necessarily. Read on in Hebrews 11. Not all escaped from the mouth of the lion. Some were put to death. Some were thrown to the lions, and the lions devoured them. Just read church history in the first century AD. Many Christians thrown to the lions. Not all quenched the violence of fire. Some of them were burned in the fire. Not all of them escaped the edge of the sword. Some of them were put to death by that sword. Does that mean then that the latter were failures? That they did not have faith? That their faith was weak? Absolutely not. Because you read on and you add that phrase, through faith others were tortured. Through faith others had trial of cruel mockings. Through faith they were stoned. Through faith they were sawn asunder, and so on. So whether they overcame these things by the power of their faith, or whether they were put to death, they still did it by the power of faith. Because only faith can explain all of the works we read of in Hebrews 11. This, therefore, beloved, is a great cloud of faithful witnesses to us. We are not to admire them for their natural skill, because that wouldn't give us any hope or any comfort, because we do not have that natural skill. We are to glorify God. We are to exclaim, "What hath God wrought by the power of faith?" Let us live, therefore, out of that same faith to the glory of our great God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that, like all of these saints in the Old Testament scriptures, we have been united to Jesus Christ by faith. Strengthen our faith, Father, and cause it to grow, and cause us to be more conscious of that fact, that we belong to Jesus Christ, and through Him we can do all things, because He strengthens us. Amen.